Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vov. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara opens up in the upper part of Daf Mem Vav with a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was found at the bottom part of Mem He Omid Beis. The discussion here concerns those who are punished by Skila. The Torah says that the body is suspended at a point in time before sunset and then is interred after that. The topic heading that we have at the outside margin, you can see the Nosei, Hezber Machlokes Tanoim. We will explain the Tanaic controversy. Im Isha Nitleis, is a female subjected to this process of being suspended on a board as well as a man? In our Mishnah we saw Hoish Toilin Oisoi Ponov Klapeom. This is from the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem He Amud Beis. And the Chachamim Omrim Ho'ish Nitle Ve'ein Ho'ish Nitleis. The Chachamim say that a man only is suspended, a woman is not suspended at all. This was as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, who said that both genders are suspended. The difference being that the man is facing the public and the woman who is suspended, is her face is toward the board, not toward the public. Turning to our Gemara, Ho'ish Toilin V'chule, and we mention there the Ho'isha in our write-in between the lines, and we mention Divrei Rabbi Lezer. The purpose of this write-in is to show that Rabbi Lezer holds that a man and a woman are suspended. V'chachomim Omrim Ho'ish Nitle V'ein Ho'isha Nitleis, and that also we've written in, as you can see, that the Shitas Chachomim is that only a man and not the woman is suspended. The Gemara now proceeds analyzing these two opinions. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take note of our geometric forms that we will encounter. This is found in the Mivneh heading on the outside margin. Notice a diamond shape with a colored in tip. These are Makoros Lashitas HaChachamim, sources for the Rabbanan in the Mishnah that limited the Tulia, the suspending of the body, to the man and exclusion of the woman. So as you look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice two of these forms in the next few lines. These are attempts to discover their source. The other form that we'll encounter in a few lines will be a triangle, which will also have a colored in tip, and it will appear in two different directions. When we get there, we'll discuss that. So the Gemara continues, my time at the Rabbanan. What's the reasoning behind the Rabbanan who say that a woman is not suspended? Omar Kro, Vitoliso Oisoi. The Pasuk says, and you will suspend him. And focusing on the word him, we say Oisoi, Velo Oisa, the man and not the woman. Woman is not suspended. Rabbi Lezer, what does he do with that? Because Rabbi Lezer does not exclude a woman. What does he do with the exclusionary word Oisoi? So he says, Oisoi, a man, when he is suspended, he is unclothed, but a woman is going to be clothed. The point, as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, that Oso is not coming to exclude the woman. V'rabonon, in hochinami, the Rabbonon accede to this reading. In other words, that the man alone is suspended without his clothing. Therefore, we have to seek another source for the Chachomim whereby we exclude a woman entirely from suspension. So the Gemara goes on and says we have this pasuk, V'chiyeh b'ish chet, ish v'lo isha. This pasuk is, of course, in the same context, whereby we see here that only a man is featured in the suspension and not a woman. Rabbi Lezer, who does not make a difference in the general idea of suspension, what does he do with the focus of this pasuk on the man, v'chiyah be'ish? At this point, we'll explain our geometric form, the triangle. We have in our Mivneh heading on the outside, you notice we featured triangles in two different directions. One possibility is limute, exclusionary, and the other possibility is l'rabois, both of them focusing on Ben Soromir, the wayward son who is guilty of a death penalty. So the Gemara continues, Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that this pasuk, V'chia b'ish chet, ha'hu lim'ute ben sorer u'more. He is to be excluded from the hanging, from the suspension process. The Gemara asks, how can you say that we're coming to exclude the ben sorer from being subjected to that v'hotanya, but we have a Tanaic source with featuring Rabbi Eliezer Shita that says ben sorer more niskal, he's stoned, v'nitle. V'divrei Rabbi Lezer. I notice with our markings we've dashed, underlined, nitle Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer is whole of the opinion he is suspended. Ela Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok. He comes up, Rav Nachman comes up with an interesting approach to the issue of Ben Sor More and the Psukim. He says the opposite. He says, L'rabois ben sorer u'moreh. The Psukim actually include the Ben Sor More for suspension. My taima. How do you see from these psukim that the ben sorer more is also suspended? The pasuk says v'chiyah b'ish chet. The pasuk says that when there is a sin in a man is a violator, and the word ish equals v'lo ben. The word ish would serve to exclude a ben, the ben sorer more, who is basically a youth who's between the ages of 13 and 13 and 3 months, according to the majority opinion. Chet equals mi she'al chet'oi neherag. The pasuk that deals with suspension says, when there is a sin in a man who is being suspended because of the very sin that he committed. Let's restate that. He who is being killed by the Beis Din because of the very sin he committed. Yotza ben Soromura, this excludes a ben Soromura who is true, he's put to death, but not because of the very sin that he committed, but rather she'al shum sofo neherag, because of his future behavior that is anticipated by the Torah. The ben Soromura, in concise terms, is a son, is a child who's above 13 and between 13 and 13 and 3 months, that his behavior is one of theft, of stealing and buying meat and drinking wine. And the feeling of the Torah is that if he continues in this type of lifestyle, he will end up murdering the people of the general public. And as such, the Torah says, kill him now. That's what this term means. Shal shum sofo nerag. He's killed now in anticipation of what his future would be. But let's focus on our topic, on specifically how to look at the psukim. We noticed the line just above, two dashed underlines. We looked at the pasuk v'chiyah b'ish chet, and we said that excludes a ben, because of the word ish, excluding ben meaning a youth, and chet, also excluding someone who is excluding he who is killed for anticipatory reasons and not because of the very crime that he committed. That's again, you see, with the dash on the yotzo ben so more. This is described have a mute achar mute, two exclusionary expressions, one following the other. And in Torah law, we say the following: ve'ein mute achar mute elo l'rabbis. When you have two exclusionary expressions, it actually comes to include. And therefore, we see Rav Nachman Yitzchok, who is our number two approach a few lines up, coming to include the Ben Sor More for the process of tli, of hanging or suspension. Omer Lehem Rabbi Yozer. This is from our Mishnah. V'halo Shimon Ben Shetach Tola Noshim V'chulei, and Omer Lo, the Rabbanan said back, V'ein Donin Shnayim B'yoyim Echad. This section of the Mishnah was quoted because after Rabbi Eliezer claimed that a woman is also suspended, Rabbi Eliezer cited as precedent Shimon ben Shetach, who killed and suspended 80 women in Ashkelon, as was featured in the Gemara, or more specifically the Rashi on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So Eliezer has a basis for the suspension of women as well. The Chachamim responded that said that Shimon ben Shetach's actions were of a one-time nature, and we can't draw conclusions from that. In fact, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah that he hung 80 women, and in general, ein donin shnayim biyom echad. In general, two are not prosecuted on one day. Two are not prosecuted and given a verdict of death in one day. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara, you'll notice in the outside margin, no say, Hezber Shitas HaChachomim will explain their approach that says, Ein Donin Shnayim Biyom Echad, that we don't prosecute two on a capital case on one day. Omar Rav Chisda, we now have another geometric form, really, we should explain before we go on. And in our Mivneh heading, we see Shnei Shlavim B'shitas Rav Chisda, two stages in trying to understand or presenting Rav Chisda's approach. You see one here, and then the next line at the end, you see the squiggle underline, Ela Iyatmar Hachimar. We use the squiggle underline to indicate an alternative approach. And once again, Lo Shanu. So, this first Rav Chisda is a qualification of what was just said in the Mishnah that said, Ein Donim Shnayim Biyom Echad. He says, Lo Shanu Ela B'shtei Misos. The idea of we don't judge two on one day is when you're dealing with two different types of death penalty. Avo B'miso Achas Donin. However, if it's one type of death penalty, even though there may be multiple cases, we can judge them on one day. The Gemara asks, V'ho Maisa de Shimon ben Shetach, the incident involving Shimon ben Shetach, the Misa Achas Havoi, the Ka'omru Lei, the Ein Donin. The case there featured the women were all sentenced to the same type of death penalty, and nevertheless, the Rabbonon said that you cannot judge, you can't come to conclusions from the Shimon ben Shetach case. Hence, the Rabbonon are saying that even if you have two people, or more certainly, that are going to be judged with the same death penalty, you do not judge them on one day. Elo iet mar hochi inmar. Therefore, the Gemara comes up with a restatement of Rav Chisda's original restriction. He says, Lo shanu elo b'miso achas ke'ein shtei misos. The restriction of the Mishnah of Ein Donin Shnayim Biyom Echad, this applies only when you're dealing with one death penalty that's like two. What does that mean? Vehechi dami, kegoin shtei averos. For example, two separate offenses, even though they have the same death penalty associated with them. However, since they're two separate offenses, you don't judge them on the same day. And Rashi cites as an example, for example, a violation of Shabbos and idolatry. Both of them are sentenced to penalty by stoning. But since they're two separate offenses, we don't judge them on the same day. Avol, the Gemara goes on, b'miso achas v'avera achas, if it's one type of death penalty, the same type of death penalty for the two cases, and it's the same offense, we can judge them on the same day. And now Rashi points out the most important part, and that Shimon ben Shetach was in fact a case, although it was the same death penalty, it was in fact two averos. And what were the two averos involving the Shimon ben Shetach case? They were oiv and yid, only two different forms of witchcraft. And hence, they were really not to be judged on the same day. That fact that he did it, that was a contingency. It was a one-time affair, and we cannot draw conclusions from that. And just like we can't draw conclusions from that, we can't draw conclusions from anything that happened in that case, the Rabbanan hold. And therefore, even the idea of the women being suspended, even though Shimon ben Shechtel did suspend those women, in general, we do not. Mosiv Rav Ado Bar Avo. The following Tanaic source is raised as a question on what we just said. The source says, "Ein donen shnayim b'yoyim echad, v'afilu b'noyef v'noyefes." We don't judge two people on one day, even if it's the same avera. Not only if it's even if it's the same death penalty, but even if it's the same avera, they are not to be judged on the same day. Noyef and noyefes are issues of immorality. But we said, in the name of Rav Chisda, that if it's two people with the same offense, and naturally the same death penalty, they can be judged. So, Tirgum Rav Chisda, who is really in the position that has to answer for himself, he explains this source that Rav Ado just quoted as, in fact, two different death penalties. It's true, they're the same offense, but they're two different death penalties. And you'll ask, how could that be? The Gemara explains, Bebas Kohen uBoyala, Oy Bebas Kohen veZoymume Zoymumeha. The Torah dictates that a daughter of a Kohen who's involved in immorality, when she's in a married woman, daughter of a Kohen, a Bas Kohen, that is involved with immorality, she gets a sreifa death penalty through death by the heat process, and the paramour, the man involved with her, he is killed by chenek, assuming that we're dealing with a bas kohen, that's a nesua. There's another case, bas kohen, which she gets sreifa, and zomemei zomemeha. The case of zomemei zomemeha is explained by Rashi. He's found in the wide lines, the fourth wide line, true, both she and these false witnesses are killed, but they don't have the same death penalty. Hence, they're not to be judged on the same day. Now, Rashi gives us the whole background. Two witnesses came, after the first witnesses testified that she was being immoral, the second set of witnesses came and were mazim the first set of witnesses. V'chaivum misas haboyol. If we, at that point, the first set of witnesses would be guilty or be penalized by the same death penalty that the paramour would suffer, and that's chenek. Velo misasa, and not the death penalty she receives. Chtiv kasher zomem lasos lachiv. The pasuk says, as they schemed against their brother. Velo lachos. So the word achiv is in the masculine, and it's coming to exclude whatever they were trying to inflict on the female. Kedomer beilu hanechnokin, as is featured in that perek later on in this maseches. The story goes on. Ubo shnayim achirim vehizimu hamazimim. Another set of witnesses came in, and they falsified the falsifiers. Nimseis, if they falsified the falsifiers, it would then come in, it would reinstate the original set of witnesses. And Nimseis, he chayev sreifa, she would be guilty of sreifa, al pi harishonim, based on those first set of witnesses that now were now reinstated, the hamazimim es harishonim, and the first set of falsifiers that were now shown to be false themselves, bechenek. Why did they get the strangulation? Shehoyu boyin lechayvon ba v'hainu misis aboyol. The strangulation is the death penalty they were trying to inflict on the original boel, and hence they will get that death penalty. However, just to summarize, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, if you have two people that performed the same offense and are guilty the same death penalty, they can be judged on the same day. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source which features a very, very unusual and also very significant contingency found in the halacha. Before we go further, we notice our nosei mivneh heading. We have a bow tie form. These represent two. These are dugmois, examples. Shebeis in makin va'inshim shalom min haTorah. That based in the courts of the Torah courts can impose physical penalties, even though the Torah itself does not prescribe these penalties. Tanya, Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Yankov, Omer. Shomati, I heard from my teachers, Shebeis din makin v'inshin shalom min haTorah, that Beis Din has the right to inflict physical punishment, even though it's not legislated directly by the Torah. V'lo lavor al divrei Torah, the purpose of Beis Din taking these actions is not as to infringe on that which the Torah states, ela kedei lasa siog la Torah, but rather to serve, to protect, to serve as a fence of Torah law. In other words, and as we'll see in the following examples, if the Beis Din encounters a situation or possibly a society that is in excessive violation of Torah precepts, it may be necessary to punish in a more severe fashion than otherwise would have been necessary in order to strengthen the Torah law. There was an incident where someone was riding a horse on Shabbos, b'yemei Yevonim, in the time of the Greeks. And as is well known in history, during the time of the Greeks, Jewish association with Torah law, with halacha, was certainly a weak association, as we know from the Hanukkah story. And this fellow was found riding a horse on Shabbos, v'hivi'u l'Beis Din v'sokluhu, and they brought him to Beis Din and prosecuted him with a death penalty of stoning. Lo mitnei shiroi l'kach, not because riding a horse is guilty of stoning, because it is not. Riding a horse is itself only a rabbinic infringement. Elo shehashah tzricha l'kach, rather because it was necessary for this, which means the situation in society was such where Sabbath observance was so weak and taken so lightly, so as to shake up the masses. This was necessary to be done. Shuv ma'ase bonam echod. There was another incident where a person she'tiach es ishto tachas hateina, where a man engaged with intimate relations with his own wife, but under a fig tree, which Rashi explains in a public area. V'hevi'u l'Beis Din v'hilku, and they brought this man who behaved in this frivolous fashion to the court. V'hilku, and they subjected him to lashing. Lo mitnei shiroi l'kach, not because he is deserving of that, because relations with one wife is itself an act that's quite permissible. Here it's just a question of where it was done, and there's no malchus that the Torah prescribes. There's no lashing the Torah prescribes for that type of behavior. Elo shashah tzricha l'kach, because the societal situation was such that they needed to be shaken up. Very likely a very immoral society where some fence had to be imposed, and so this man was taken and lashed, and that was designed to shake up the masses. The Mishnah continues now with the physical descriptions of the suspension process that we've been noting up till now. Ketzad toilin oso, how is the suspension done? Once again, we're dealing with a person who was subjected to the stoning death penalty. After that, the body is taken and suspended on a plank or a board, as is now explained. Mishakin esakura boretz. This first of two opinions suggests that that a beam was wedged into the ground. V'ha'etz yoytze, and there's a crossbar. V'makif shte yodav zu al gav zu, and the two hands of the of the victim are placed one on the other. and he is tied to the board in that fashion. V'toylo oisoi, and he is suspended. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hakura muta al hakoisel. The board is simply leaned against the wall and not wedged into the ground. V'toylo oisoi kederech shehatabochen oisin, and the body is suspended the way that butchers suspend the slaughtered animals. Umatirin oisoi miyad, and as soon as he is suspended and tied up, he is untied and released. V'im lon, if the body is left there till after dark, oiver olav beloisase shenemar, he's in violation of a negative commandment, as the pasuk says, lo solin nivloso alo eitz, do not leave the body in over time into darkness. Ki kavor tikburanu, you must bury him. Ki kilas elokim tolui, because the kilas elokim, literally the curse of God, is suspended. Klomar mipnei ma ze tolui, and the Mishnah explains this pasuk and says, why is this person being suspended? Meshabirich is ashamed, because he was guilty of cursing the Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'nimtzah shem shamay mischalel, by having the body suspended, that serves to defame the honor of heaven. And how does that happen? Rashi points out, because people walking by see the body, and then they speak about the events that led up to this, and they say, oh, this character, this individual cursed Hashem, and by discussing that, by publicizing that, that's a defamation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. We see in our Mishnah the use of brackets, which, by the way, is a very unusual event in the marking system. The note on the in the margins mentions Achrei HaSograyim HaMishnah Mamshicha Im Dinim HaKshurim LeNitlim. After the bracketed section, the Mishnah will continue with more laws regarding hanging. However, within the brackets, we will notice a reference to the pain the Shechina, so to speak, receives when a person experiences suffering. So that having been said, we'll continue reading straight through. Omar Rabbi Meir, v'shoa she'odo mitzdayer, when a person suffers punishment, Rashi points out that punishment comes of him as a result of sinning. Shechina ma loshon emeres, what does the divine presence say when the Shechina sees the person suffering, and mind you, suffering because of his own sins? Kalani meiroshi, kalani mizroi. This expression, kalani meiroshi, will be dealt with by the Gemara. The Rashi on the Mishnah says, kalani meiroshi, kamo she'odam she'yogev oyef, just like a person when he's very fatigued says, Omer roshi koved olai, uzroi koved olai. My limbs feel very weighty, very heavy. Bear in mind that Rashi now is taking a position that will be dealt with by the Gemara. So we'll have to be open-minded when we encounter this section in the Gemara a little bit later. But all the same, we continue with the Rashi. V'hainu kilolas. This expression, kalani meiroshi, is a takeoff on the pasuk that we saw, ki kilolas elokim talui. And what does that mean, kilolas? Kal leis. Kal leis. Kal means lightness, is not. Ani eini kal. I am not light, but rather I am heavy, I feel heavy-limbed. Continuing in the Mishnah, Im kein hamokum mitzdayer al domon shel rishoyim shenishbach, if this be the case concerning the pain the Kodesh Baruch Hu feels with the spilled blood of evil people, we're dealing with a person who violated a capital offense knowingly, suffered his death penalty, and with all of that, the Shechina feels pain. If that be the case, kal v'chomer al domen shel tzadikim, then all the more so when it comes to a righteous person that dies. V'lo zu bilvad omru elo, not only regarding the issue of the death, the person punished by the court is who is suspended and left overtime, is there a violation of the negative commandment? Anyone who leaves his own relative that died, regardless of a court inflicted death penalty, a standard case of a person dying a natural death who is left unburied, there too there's a violation of this negative commandment of lo solin nivlosoi. If, however, a person who died was left unburied for a little while in order to provide for a coffin and for the preparation of shrouds, then there's no violation of this law, of this negative commandment. Going back to the victims of their death penalty, the people who were killed, executed by court, are not buried in their family plot. Rather, there were two cemeteries that were at the Beis Din's calling. Achas l'neherogin ulechnokin, one of the two courts, one of the two cemeteries that were available to the court, was for the people killed by sword and by strangulation. The achas, the other cemetery, the other beis hakvoros that was available to the courts, was leniskolin ulesrofin, for those that are punished by stoning and by the heat process. Continuing in the rather graphic description of what happens, nisakil habosar, once the person who was killed experiences body decomposition, melaktin esatzamos, there is a gathering of the remains, the bones, the koivrin oison bimakoimon, and they are reinterred in their place, in the family plot. The hakroivim boyim b'sholem b'sholem, the b'sholem hadayonim u'b'sholem ha'edim, the family relatives of the person who was killed come and ask of the shalom, the welfare of the judges and the welfare of the witnesses. Klomar she'ein b'libeinu aleichem, we have nothing against you. Shedin emes dantem, you judged an honest judgment. V'loi hoyu misablin, there was no avelus process or practice. Avelus meaning the week of mourning. Aval oinanin, the process of aninus did take place. She'ein aninus ela b'lev. Aninus is an internal expression of grief, whereby the person on the day of his death, there are halachas that affect the relatives, which are under the heading of aninus, and those halachas are practiced, are set into motion. But as we said, that's basically a one-day affair. But the week of mourning that accompanies the natural or the regular cases of death are not practiced in the case of court execution. The topic that we have now, the nosei, is the emphasis on order, miso v'achakach tlia, first the execution of the indicted, and then the suspension. In other words, the suspension is not a form of execution. In other words, the idea of a gallows type hanging with a neck in a noose is not what the Torah prescribes. Tana Rabbanan, ilu ne'amar chet v'tolisa, if the posuk had said sin and then hanging, ha'isi omer toilin oisoi ve'achakach memisin oso kederach shalmalchus oise, I would have thought that a person is initially hung while alive and then killed, as the secular authorities were known to practice. Tamalomar, therefore the pasuk says, v'humas v'tolisa. Notice the order here. equals memisen oisoi, first killing, v'acharkach toilin oiso, and then after he's dead, he's then suspended. Ha ketzad, how is this done? Mashin oisoi atzomach l'shkia sechama, the condemned is left around until close to sunset. V'goymen esdino, at that point, the final verdict is issued. Umemisen oso, then he is killed. Killed by stoning, the achakach toilinoso, and then the body is suspended. Echod kosher ve'echod matir. One ties and one unties. The idea here is there is no gap in time between his being put up and taken down. Kedei lekayim mitzvas tliya. The whole purpose of this is simply to fulfill the requirement of suspending the body and no more. In other words, there's no further delay in that suspended state. He's put up and taken down. Tana Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source. Before we continue, let us note the topic heading here. The Nosei, Machloikas Tanoim im Noyatsin Hoetz. The Tanaic controversy that we saw already featured in the Mishnah is the board, the beam on which the body is suspended. Is that beam wedged into the ground? The Eitz She'olov Nitle. Oh, we Noyatsin that into Bakaka, into the ground. Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source begins quoting the word eitz from the pasuk. Before we go further, let's just take a look at the in the margin. We have the pasuk Dvorim Chof Aleph Pasuk Chof Gimel written in Lo Yisolin Nivlosei Al HaEitz Ki. Don't leave the body on the board. Ki Kavor Tigberenu Bayomahu. He is to be buried that same day. So the source continues, citing the word eitz from that pasuk, shomeani, from merely seeing that word, I might have thought, bein betolush bein b'mechubar. Whether the wood or the eitz in question is detached, or even if it is attached. The Rashi points out something very important for understanding before we continue. In the upper part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Talmud Lomar ki kavor, this is what the Brisa will cite in a minute, may ribuye, from this extra expression, mashmale de'af eitz boi kvura, that not only is the condemned to be buried, but the wood on which he is suspended is also to be buried. So the Brisa goes on to say, having raised the question, the suspension of the body, is it on a piece of wood that's detached or even on a tree that is attached to the ground? Tamalomar ki kovor. The pasuk mentioned that he is put on a tree and then buried. And what's buried? We saw in Rashi, the wood is also buried. Mi she'eno mechuser ela kvura. The wood in question is a type of wood that after the body is taken off, the wood is missing nothing other than the burial. Yotzaze, this excludes if it were attached. Shemechuser ketzitza ukvura. There would be an interim step, namely the cutting down of the tree, of the tree on which he was suspended, and then the burial. But the pasuk says that after the suspension, there is immediately burial. No intervening actions or steps. Hence, the pasuk is alluding only to, or the pasuk dictates, the use of a detached piece of wood. Rabbi Yossi holds that the detached wood that we're talking about, not only is it detached, but it's also not wedged into the ground. It's only leaned on the wall. And he comes to this conclusion as follows. Mi she'eno mechuser ela kvura. The wood featured in the pasuk is that wood which is missing only, that needs only burial. Yotzazeh, to the exclusion of a wedged in piece of wood. Shemechuser tlisha ukvura. It's missing an additional stage, meaning the removal of it. The tlisha is the uprooting of it. Uprooting not from a state of roots, but uprooting from a state of where the board was wedged into the ground. And as such, the pasuk is excluding even that. Hence, Rabbi Yossi's shita is that the wood is merely leaned against the wall. The Rabbanan, who feel, their opinion is that the board,
that the Torah talks about is actually wedged into the ground. He says, they say, Tlisha lav klumhi, the slipping it out of its wedged state is insignificant, and hence the Torah is not coming to exclude that. All the Torah is coming to exclude is a situation where the wood is in effect a tree that needs to be chopped down, that being a significant activity, and hence that's not the case of the eights mentioned in the pasuk. The Mishnah mentioned klomar mipnei ma ze tolui, people walking by who would see the body left on the wood after darkness, passersby would start raising the issue. Well, why is he suspended? Mitnesha birech as Hashem, because he cursed. Birech is a euphemism, because he cursed the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that elaborates a little bit on this topic of a body left exposed beyond the required time, and what kind of thoughts does that arouse on the part of the public? Omer Rabbi Meir, Moshlu Moshal. There's an analogy given to this situation of a suspended body. Lamaha davar doime, to what is this comparable? Lishnei achim teomim beirachas, two twin brothers that are in one city. And it's important to note, as Rashi does at this point, that a human being is created in the what's known as b'diukno shel mokom, sometimes translated as in the image of God. In other words, the human being is a representative, so to speak, of God, not to chas v'sholem associate God with some kind of corporeal form, as we know, ein lo demus haguf. But nevertheless, we can say that a man having a neshama, a divine spirit in him, represents holiness and divinity. And as such, if you have a situation like this, where you have twin brothers in a city, echod minu lemelech, the echod yotzel listus, one was chosen to be a king, and the other one went out to a life of theft. Tzivo hamelech v'tol uhu, and because of his brother's misbehavior, the king commanded and had him hung. Kol haroyo iso, anyone who sees the twin brother of the king hanging, Omer, they would say, ah, hamelech toloi, the king is hanging. So too, a man who is created in the image of God, seeing a man suspended would cause people to have negative thoughts. Tzivo hamelech v'horidu, and in the case of the example, the king, upon realizing that he himself is being defamed, ordered his brother to be taken down from suspension. So too, the Kodesh Baruch Hu orders that the body of the condemned is to be taken down, so as not to increase shame of the Shekhinah. Omar Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah we saw the expressions Kalani Meiroshi, Kalani Mizroi. My Mashma, how does the word in the Pasuk Kilolas indicate this expression, indicate what's the euphemism mentioned in the Mishnah of Kalani Mizroi, which we saw was interpreted as being my limbs are heavy upon me. How do you see that in the word of the Torah Kilolas? Omar Abaye. Abaye answers is Keman de Omar Kal Less, as if it's to say Kal lightness is not, rather there is heaviness. Omar Le Rava. Rava questions, Im Kain, if the Mishnah by saying Kalani is not itself a euphemism, but you're explaining, you Abaye are explaining that Kalani means that there is not lightness, then im kein koved olai roishi, koved olai zroi miboy olay, then the expression that would have been more appropriate would have been the direct expression, heaviness there is. Instead of saying there is not lightness, say straight, there is heaviness, heaviness of my head, heaviness of my arm. That's what it miboy olay, it should have said. Elo omar rova, keman di omar kal li almo. The Mishnah is saying, when it says Kalani Meiroshi, is saying something else. And the Rashi explains, Kil li almo, mechane. It's using a euphemistic expression. The Eino roitze lahaskir kvedus biatzmoi. And it doesn't want to use the direct expression of heaviness. Rather, it speaks in a euphemistic way, and that is, Kili, the world is light upon me, but it's to be understood as heaviness. As opposed to Abai's approach, which was really a type of contraction of kal less. The Gemara asks, Hai miboyale lugufa. The pasuk in the Torah of kilalas is needed to tell me the halacha itself. That means that a person who is engaged in cursing is to be hung. And it's not here to teach me about what the divine presence says. So the Gemara says, well, it is, because im kein neima kro mekalel. If the pasuk was telling me simply the straightforward halacha that a blasphemer is suspended, then it would have used the word mekalel. My kilalas. What is behind the idea of kilalas? Why does the Torah use that expression? So the answer is to convey both ideas, namely the basic halacha that a blasphemer is suspended, and also that that which the divine presence feels. V'eimo kule lahachilu da'asa. Maybe we should suggest that since it's using an unusual expression, namely kilalas, maybe it's there to tell me only that which the divine presence is saying in this time of sorrow, and has nothing to do with the basic halacha of blasphemers being suspended. Im came, well, if that were true, neimo kro kalas, my kilalas. Why this expression with the double lamed in it? Shmamino tarti. So from here we are to conclude both points. The tlias megadef, the suspension of a blasphemer, and also mashchino imeris, what the divine presence says. Velo zu bilvad, v'chule, and the Mishnah went on to say, Ela kol hamalin es mesu, not only are the condemned victims who are left overnight are in the people who do that are in violation of lo solen yivlosa, but this violation applies to all those that are left unburied. Before we go on, we encounter a new marking, the double underline, one of our series markings. So on the outside margin, we see this is under the Mivneh heading, Memros shel Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi hakshurim lemeisim. These are statements made by Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi that are related to issues of death. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Minayin Lamalin Es Meso. From where do we know that one who leaves unburied overnight his relative, Sheoiver his relative or anyone that he is responsible to see to their burial, Sheoiver Alav Beloisa, said that he is in violation of this negative commandment of Loi Solin, Tamalomar Ki Kavor Tigoreno. The double expression comes to include all those that die. Mikan, the malinus mesa sheover below, said that anyone who leaves unburied the dead that he's responsible for is in violation of this negative commandment. Iko di Amri, notice the squiggle underline under the expression Iko di Amri. This is a standard marking that we have when featuring an alternative lushan, an alternative version. So there's another version that says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Remez Lekvura Min HaTorah Minayim. From where do we see an allusion in the Torah to burial? Tamad Lomar Ki Kavor Tigbarenu. That in our pasuk of the condemned to stoning, it says that he shall certainly be buried. Mikan Remez Lekvura Min HaTorah. From here we see an allusion that a person is obligated to bury his dead. Omar le Shovur Malko the Rav Chama. Shovur Malko was a Persian monarch who asked Rav Chama, Gvura min haTorah minayin? Where in the Torah is there dictated the obligation to bury? Ishtik v'lo Omar le v'lo midi. Rav Chama was silent and said nothing. The silence would convey the feeling that the Torah does not dictate the need for burial in general. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankov, Imsar Almo Biyoda de Tipshoi. The rather harsh sounding expression, but Rav Acha says that the world was given into the hands of the fools. The Iboyale Lamemar, he should have said Ki Kovor. He should have cited our Pasuk that says that the person who was hung shall certainly be buried. Before we go further, we encounter a series of triangles. In fact, we're going to encounter, as the Gemara unfolds in the upcoming lines, actually to the balance of this Omid, numerous different geometric forms. Each form represents a series, and the fact that the geometric forms are changed from time to time, that indicates different series. So in just taking a bird's eye view of the Gemara by using the magnificent marking system, one notices several different series of things. So in an overview form, the first series, we look at the Mivneh notation on the in the margin, Hochachos Legoi, attempted proofs to a non-Torah personality. A goy in this case would, generally speaking, to the proofs to the Gentile, but more specifically, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's a reference to those that don't accept rabbinic exposition of psukim. So how do you prove to someone like that the kavura min haTorah? How do you demonstrate that there's a need for burial from the Torah? As we mentioned, there are numerous more geometric forms, so we'll just in a breath say what the upcoming events are. We're going to notice another issue, and that concerns burial. Is it a function of preventing disparagement, or is it to serve as a form of atonement? And that will be the subject of the next discussion, where you see the question introduced by a bow tie, Ibai Aloho, and then a series of diamonds. Following that will be another longer topic, where you find the next bow tie, and the issue there will be eulogies. Is that in order to honor the living, or honoring the dead? And in order to prove that, we'll be using a house form surrounding the Toshmas, the attempts of the Gemara to prove that question, or to decide that question. Turning back to the question at hand, and how do we see in the Torah that there is a necessity for burial? Rav Chama was asked this question, and he didn't respond. Rav Acha said, there's a simple response. He could have said, from the Pasuk Ki Kavor. And that's our first attempt, and hence we have it in a triangle. The Gemara rejects this as that may be an accurate translation. However, the Goy would have understood it as Delevid Le Oron. All the Torah is saying when it says Kavor, it means prepare a casket. But burial in the ground, he would not necessarily understand from that word. So the Gemara says, well, he could have answered the goy by saying tikberenu, the double expression, so that even if he took the first expression kavor to mean preparing a casket, nevertheless the second expression would certainly mean burial in the ground. So the Gemara says, no, that's not convincing either. Lo mashmalei, the goy doesn't look at double expressions in the Torah as being clear dictates for this particular goal. V'neima midi ikbor tzadiki. Why couldn't Rav Chama have said to Shovur Malka, from the fact that Avram, Yitzchok, and Yankov were buried? So the Goy may have answered, No, that doesn't show me that there's burial in the ground as dictated by the Torah. Minhoga bialmo, that was the standard custom of society, so they did the same with the tzaddikim of the time. So the Gemara asks, well, couldn't the following been brought as proof? Midat kavri HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu upon Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So that would show that the Torah expects burial. The Gemara says, no, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe was delo lishtani miminhoga, that he shouldn't be any different than all other dead people, that the practice is that they're buried, the minig, the custom is that they're buried, but not that the Torah prescribes that or dictates that. Toshma. So we cite another pasuk. This is a pasuk concerning Avio ben Yeravam. And the pasuk says, V'softu loi kol Yisrael v'kovru oso. All of Israel, upon the death of Avio, they eulogized him and they buried him. Someone says, no, that's not convincing. The lo lishtani miminhoga, the fact that they buried him is not an outgrowth of a Torah dictate, but rather that was the common practice. Loi, another attempt. Lo yispedu velo yikovru. L'doimen alpene huadoma yiyu. This pasuk is featuring the wicked, and it says about the wicked that they will not be eulogized, nor will they be buried, and it will be as fertilizer on the face of the land. But what do we see from here? That in general, burial is what's necessary. So the Gemara says, answers back, no. Rav Chama's silence is understood even in light of this pasuk, because the goy could have said, the reason that the Rishoyim were not buried was simply dilishtanu miminhoga, to treat them differently than the custom. However, as far as Torah dictate is concerned, we do not see that from here either. Ibayalaho. We have a new marking, a geometric form, bow tie. Notice in the comment on the side, on the margin, we have Mivne, Shnei Diyunim, two discussions, one regarding Kavura, burial, and one regarding Hesped, eulogizing. So the first discussion concerns burial, and specifically, we can actually read the question inside, Ibailaho, Kavura Mishum Bizyoina, who? The fact that we bury the dead, is that in order to prevent them or protect them from disparagement, namely a corpse lying in an open field would be a bizoyon. As Rashi says, shelo yizbaza le'ein kol shiruhu meis v'nirka v'nivka, so that he shouldn't be left in a field and everyone seeing the decaying and body splitting open. The Gemara goes on, oi mishum kapora, who, or is burial in order to achieve atonement. Rashi explains this as well. Rashi says, oi ki hechid sevile kapora behatmonazu. How do you see atonement from this? Well, by taking the deceased and burying him, hatmonas, putting away something and wrapping it up and covering it up. Shemoridin umashpilin oso betachtios, that the body is lowered, and the term mashpilin has also an emotional lowering connotation, it into the depths. So this whole process would serve as a form of atonement. So once again, is it to prevent from disparagement or in order to provide for atonement? Lamai nafgamina, what difference does it make? What practical difference is there? The Omar, the case would be where the deceased, before his death, said, Lo bo'ino de l'gberua lu gavra, that he does not want to be buried. Lu gavra is a euphemism referring to himself. Iamris mishum bizyoinahu, if you say, we've squiggled underline Iamris here and a couple words later to show you the two sides of the question. Iamris mishum bizyoinahu, if you say that the consideration here is to protect from embarrassment, lo kol kamine, then it is not within his power to say, I don't want to be buried. Because here you're dealing with the bizayon, with the disparagement of the family. In other words, when a person, when a dead body is lying there and it's and the decay is visible to all, that's a sense of embarrassment to the family. And he cannot be mevater, he cannot yield their embarrassment. However, v'yamris mishum kapora, if the whole purpose of burial is to serve as atonement for the deceased himself, if v'yamris mishum kapora hu, ho Omar, but he declared, lo bo'ino kapora, I don't want the atonement. And the Rashi says something here that seems rather dramatic. He says, ho Omar lo bo'ino kapora v'inami kabre, and even if he were to be buried, Inami kavri le lo miskaper, he would not receive atonement. My, so the question is asked. Toshma, and with the use of the diamonds, we see several of these. These are all attempts to decide this issue. So Toshma, mide ikbur tzadiki, from the fact that the righteous are buried, this will hopefully settle the issue. V'i amris mishum kapora, if you were to think that the burial serves as atonement, tzadiki l'kapora tzrichi, do the righteous need atonement? And nevertheless, we know that tzadikim are buried, so it must be in order to prevent the disparagement. The Gemara says it's not decisive. This is a rejection. He says, yes, in fact, the righteous do need atonement. Dichtiv adam ein tzadik bo'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no righteous person that ever lived that does good and does not sin. In other words, there's always sin that a person that commits through life, and as a result of that, he needs atonement. So that the burial may in fact serve as atonement, even though we're dealing with the righteous. Toshma, so let's try again to settle the issue. V'softu loy kol Yisrael. The note says that there are some missing words, and you know this in the margin the printer put in. V'kovru oisoi, kize levadoi yovoi lirovom el kever. And this pasuk we saw cited in the previous discussion, referring to Avia ben Yerovam, that he was to be eulogized and buried. And the pasuk indicates that he alone from the family of Yerovam was brought to burial. In other words, the rest of Yerovam's family were wicked and not to be granted burial. The amris ki hechi detevi le kapora, if you were to think that the burial is in order to ensure atonement, Hanochnami likbaru ki hechi tehevi lehu kapora, why not let the rest of that family who were wicked, let them be buried in order for them to achieve atonement? So the fact that they were not buried shows that it's not for atonement purposes. The Gemara rejects this. Hai the tzadiku, avia, the son of Yerovam, who was termed a righteous person, tehevi le kapora, he deserves the atonement. In Hanoch, however, the others who were evil, lo lehevei lu kaporo, they do not deserve the atonement. So we see that it could very well be that burial is for atonement purposes, and they simply did not deserve it. Toshma, another attempt, and this pasuk deals with wicked, the wicked. It says, lo yisbedu velo yikovru, they will not be eulogized, nor will they be buried. And one has to articulate here that if burial is for atonement, let these wicked be buried in order to achieve atonement. The fact that they're not seems to be that burial is not for atonement purposes. The one says, no, burial is for atonement purposes. Why were these wicked not buried? The lo teve lehu kapora, so that they don't get the prize, so to speak, of atonement, simply because they do not deserve it. Ibayalaho, a new question is raised, and we have in our note in the margin, Nenose Hesped, eulogizing, Mishum Kavod Hachaim, Oi Kavod Hamesim, is it for the honor of the living, the survivors, the family members, or is it for the honor of the dead? As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a series marking, the geometric form, the house form, and our Mivneh heading, we indicate Nisyones Lechiach, the Hespeid, equals Lechvoid Hames, Yakro de Shachvi. The Gemara will, after presenting the question, will take an approach through and through, attempting to show that it is for the honor of the dead. Yakra de Shachvi, honor, Yakra's honor of the Shachvi of the dead. But each time, as the Gemara goes on, there will be an attempt to reject those proofs. And this discussion will continue till the middle part of Mem Zayin Omed Aleph. So let us start the discussion. Ibai Eloho, Hespeda. The question is raised concerning a Hespeda eulogy. Yakro dechai huhave Aleph, O Dilma. You notice the O, we have not the word Dilma, but we have two sides of the question. So in our markings, we often indicate the two sides by Aleph and then Beis. So the eulogy, Yakro dechai huhave, is it for the honor of the living, the survivors, those that remain of the family of the deceased? Oy yakro de shachvi havi. And by the way, when we mention the family of the deceased, we're not going to limit ourselves to that, but in general, is it a source of honor to the living, or yakro de shachvi havi, or a source of honor for the dead? Lamai nafkamina. What practical bearing does this have? The Omar, where the individual said before his death, Lo tispedu alehu gavro. He ordered, I don't want a eulogy. Oy inami, another possibility would be, La fuke miyorshim, to, in the event that the eulogizing is something that one has to pay for, where it's hired eulogizers, and who is going to pay for it other than the heirs, can we extract payment from the yorshim? The Rashi points out, Inami lafuki miyorshim al korchan schar hasafton. Can we extract from them against their will the fee for the eulogizers? I yakro de shachvi, if it's the honor for the dead, ki omar lotis beduhu, say sinale, in the event that he says, I don't want to be eulogized, then we listen to him. Vi loy omar, vi amri yorshim. If he didn't say anything, but the Yorshim said, Lo nicholon, we don't want the eulogizing. If we're working with the assumption that it's Yakud the Shachmi, then Kafinalu, we force them to pay for it because it's for the honor of the dead, and they don't have a right to yield the deceased's honor. However, vi Yakud the Chayhu, if it's honor for the living, then Lididei Lo Tzaisinon, the Yorshin Tzaisinon. We don't listen to him. We would rather listen to the heirs because of the fact that, according to this approach, it's for their honor. So we continue trying to determine this. Toshma Vayavoi Avraham Lispoid Lisarav Livkoisa. Avraham came from the site of the Akedas Yitzchak famous incident of Avraham Avinu being asked to offer his son as an offering came back from that event. He traveled a distance in order to eventually come back and eulogize his wife that recently died and to cry over her. Ve'i Amris Mishum Yakra Dechayihu. If one were to think that the eulogizing is for the honor of the living, Mishum Yakra d'Avraham Mashu Lo L'Sora, because of Avraham's honor, would they leave Sora unburied? So it must be that her being left unburied until he arrived was for her honor. The Gemara says, no, this is not convincing. Sora Gufa Nichola, Sora herself would have been happy, kihechi dimyaker bo Avram, that Avram should experience honor through her. So it could be that still we can take the position that it's honor of the living. Toshma, the pasuk says, in this pasuk we saw quoted above, v'saftu loy kol Yisrael, v'kovru oiso. We saw this by Avia, and the nation of Israel eulogized him and buried him. Vi amris mishum yakur dechayhu. Let's not forget that he was a single righteous person in a family of the wicked.
Now, if one were to suggest that it's the honor, that the eulogizing is for the honor of the living, Hanoch b'nei Yakroninu, the survivors of that family, namely the household of Yerovam, were they worthy of honor? They were evil. So Gemara says, Nicholahu l'tzadikaya, the righteous actually want to miyakri behu inshi, that that people receive honor through them. So for whom is the honor? The honor is for the living. And the fact that the household of Yerovam were to receive the honor, this was in accordance with the desire of the deceased. Toshma, lo yispidu velo yikovru. There will be no eulogizing and no burial of the wicked. So it's pointed out now, if eulogizing is for the honor of the living, even though the people featured in this pasuk were evil, there remained alive the righteous. So if it's for the honor of the living, why should there be no eulogies said over these deceased? So more answers, lo nicho l'tzadikaya. These very living people who were righteous would not want the miyakri birushai, that they should receive honor through the wicked who died. Toshma. This pasuk is a pasuk in the context of Tzidkio HaMelech. It says, "B'sholoim tamus uvemisrefois avoisecha hamlochem arishonim asher heyu lefanecha," that you will die in peace, and the practice that was characteristic of kings, that their possessions were burnt, which was an act of honor, will be done for you too. The pasuk says for Tzidkio, who was the last of the kings in the Bayis Rishon period, came, and as it says, "Kain yisrefu loch, v'hoi adoin yispedu loch." V'i amris mishum yakro dechayhu. If the purpose of eulogizing is for the benefit, for the honor of the living, my nafka le mine, what difference does it make to Tzidkio that he had to be informed that he will be eulogized? Once he's dead, that's the end of it. If you say that the eulogizing is for the purpose of the honor of the living, so the Gemara answers, hochi ka'omar le. The following is the understanding of the pasuk. The Yakru Beich Yisrael, the nation of Israel will receive honor through you, ki hechi de misyakri bavosach, just like they received honor through your predecessors. That, and he was being informed that that's what would take place. Though we're in the middle of a discussion, we have completed this particular daf. So with this, we conclude our shiur for today.